The question was asked, when the rabbis make a rabbinic decree, a rabbinic gezerah, that's there to protect us from transgressing a biblical prohibition, how do we understand that as not confusing or diminishing the importance of the biblical commandment? So those are really two different questions, the diminishing importance and confusing. So I want to begin with the first one you asked about confusing. And I think the answer to that lies in Avos de Rabbi Nosson. There's a braisa, a medrash, that expands on Pirkei Avos and the ethics of our fathers. And over there, in the very beginning, there's a discussion about what went wrong in the Garden of Eden. Why did Adam and Eve sin? Adam, it would seem, made a rabbinic prohibition. Along comes Rabbi Adam and tells his wife, don't even touch that fruit or you'll die. Right? So it seems like the first rabbinic prohibition brought about the first catastrophe in the world, right? So that, isn't the Medrash asking your question? So the Medrash says that the big issue with what Adam did was that Adam didn't clearly delineate to his wife, this is where God's word ends and Adam's word begins. He came along and said, God said not to eat from the fruits or touch them or we'll die. At which point, Adam might have thought he would accomplish that his wife will be super careful now with his rabbinic institution. But that's not the way to go. So as far as confusion, part of the rules we have is that the rabbis can't tell us this is biblical when it's rabbinic. The rabbis themselves say that there has to be a clear understanding what's biblical and what's rabbinic. And that's much of what we're doing in Talmud, delineating exactly where the biblical prohibition ends. And then understanding, did the rabbis prohibit? Did they not prohibit and why? So this idea that there shouldn't be confusion, well, if you learn, you won't have confusion. If all you're doing is copying your neighbors, so you don't really know why is he doing this, that, or the other thing, right? So the way to avoid confusion is by studying. The information is out there and available. All you got to do is learn. But the rabbis were careful in ensuring that we understand what's biblical and what's rabbinic. And on the contrary, we have a biblical prohibition. We're not allowed to add to the mitzvahs of the Torah. So they wouldn't be allowed to do differently. For the rabbis to come and say this is biblically prohibited when it isn't, they might be in transgression of the biblical prohibition not to add to the Torah. The Talmud even questions, how did the rabbis add the mitzvah of washing your hands? I understand how they added prohibitions to protect us from sinning. But how did they add proactive commandments like reading the Megillah, like celebrating Purim? So the Talmud goes into each example and explains what basis they had for doing it. But they were super clear as to what's biblical and what's not. So that's step one. So far, so good?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the second question was,
how does it not diminish?
So I think that when you're extra careful not to transgress, I don't think it diminishes. I think it enhances. I'll tell you, I'll give you an example what it's similar to. You have a crib at home, and next to the crib you have a socket. So you don't want the baby to stick something into the socket, so you put a cover on the socket. You don't want the baby to lift the cover, so you put tape on the cover that covers the socket. Does that diminish the importance of the socket? Does that make it less of a danger? No, it makes it that you're more aware of the danger of the socket. You want to make sure you wake up on time tomorrow. You set an alarm clock, you set another alarm clock, you write yourself a big note. I have a big meeting to it this morning, don't forget. Does that diminish? No, the more you protect something, the more you value it, the more it enhances it. You're going to get married one day. When you come with an engagement ring, you're going to put it in a nice little box. And that box you might tie with a nice little ribbon. And then you might put that whole thing in another box. Yeah, when you encase something, you're cherishing it. You're showing that it's worthwhile. You're going to have an engagement day. You're going to write 15 reminders in your cell phone. A month beforehand, the reminder's going to ring on your Outlook or your cell phone. It's going to say, hey, get a wedding gift, get an engagement day gift, whatever it is. The more something is important to us, the more we're careful not to miss it. And we're all that way. It happens to be that when it comes to rabbinic institutions, the Torah actually commanded them to make these institutions. It says, "Ushmartem et mishmarti." The Torah says, I want you to ensure you don't transgress what I just taught you. Our tradition is that with those words, the Torah was actually telling the rabbis, make sure to make fences to ensure people don't transgress. And if you'll think about it, you'll see that we do this in all our lives.
It seems to me like they were preemptively making an action to prevent our future generations' ignorance. Like they prejudged people not to consider the biblical prohibitions themselves important enough.
So that's a new question. That's a good question. That's a new one. So that's a totally separate question. I think, in a nutshell, I would rather give you a longer answer. It deserves a class. But in a nutshell, as you learn, you'll see that they understood human nature very, very well. And what they were doing was really working with human nature, seeing our weaknesses, and working with us so that we don't transgress the biblical prohibitions. We can take a small example of that. We know it's biblically prohibited to be intimate with many, many women, right? A person is permitted with his wife. Along come the rabbis and say, you may not be alone in a room where you know you're going to be alone with that woman. You may not be alone. It has to be either the door's open, you know someone else could come in, or there are other people in the room. You have to... What were they saying? They were saying, hey, we see what's happened here. They were talking out of experience. They saw what was going on. They said, okay, this is prohibited. You look at examples, you see the rabbi said, don't carry your cell phone on Shabbos. The Torah says, don't use it. The rabbi say, don't carry it. Yeah, you'll have a cell phone in your pocket. It's going to ring on Shabbos. You're going to answer it. They said, don't carry a pen on Shabbos. If you had your pen on you, you'd end up jotting things down on Shabbos. So I think the rabbis were very realistic. They saw where we were holding. They saw our human nature. And they came and said, okay, don't do A, don't do B.
Explain the meat and the milk. It has nothing to do with what is written in the Torah.
What are we talking about?
Not allowed to eat milk.
Chicken with meat?
Not allowed to eat milk after meat without waiting 6 hours.
So that's a good question. The question is, does the rest of the class want us to continue?